Hey everybody, Coach Michael here. Happy New Year, 2021. Super excited to be on the channel and offering some insights on insomnia and sleep in general. Nothing here is medical advice, just replying to some emails and taking live questions if you'd like to join. We have three emails today, and two of them are kind of similar in what the questions are. So and then it was funny, as I was reading the third one, it's kind of also sort of similar. So we have kind of like a theme going today. So, and that theme will become apparent as we go along. And a little spoiler alert, it is the Houdini effect big time. So we're going to be seeing how that happens and offer some insights about that. Okay, so first let's just go right to the first email. And the first actually wasn't an email, it came through our YouTube channel replies from Sam. Hi Daniel, that was a wonderful episode. Of course, all your videos are wonderful, so he's really appreciative of all the great comments like that. I want to ask you a question about my experience with insomnia these days. I'm doing little good after I started watching your videos about insomnia and made a little bit of progress. From a couple of days, I am sleeping well, but last 2 days are worse. I didn't get any winks of sleep last two nights. I don't even have anxiety. I am laying on the bed and my mind constantly keeps on thinking something. What should I do in this kind of situation? Okay, super common. That was from Sam, right? So really common, but not, you know, it's something that we need to talk about. So, you know, at night, the goal is not to try to sleep. That's kind of the overarching goal, working towards this non-attachment NATO kind of idea, where you are not invested in, really. I don't want to say you don't care about how you sleep, but you're just not attached to it. You sort of shrug. You're a little bit indifferent to it, in a sense, being awake at night. That's the common description of a good sleeper. That's the common theme, the thread that runs through all good sleepers, is that they're not attached to it. They just it doesn't affect that a good sleeper during the day or even at night if they're awake. It's just kind of a shrug. So if you are lying in bed awake, then you know it's okay, as long as you're not trying to make yourself sleep. That's the big goal. So when people tell me that they lie in bed and they don't want to maybe move around too much and their mind is really kind of active, but they feel like if they do something else that it's going to wake them up even more. That's super common for sleep coaches to hear. And I think you have to kind of question that a little bit, in the sense that you can start with, well, you have been just lying in bed with a lot of thoughts and sleep is elusive. So, okay, that's the starting point. So continuing to kind of do that isn't likely going to be a good strategy moving forward. But what you want to do is something that makes, you know, prevents you from trying. So it's not, you don't want to do anything with the intent, the purpose of making yourself sleep. That's the big goal. So that means you can do literally just about anything that you enjoy. So, you know, common things that people will try to do, they'll try to bore themselves to sleep. They'll try to relax themselves to sleep. They'll try to, you know, just do like yoga pose kind of stuff. They'll do things that are in their mind going to make them sleep. And it doesn't work. If it does work, it's not that thing. It's not that caused the sleep. It just happened to be associated with falling asleep. And then pretty soon it loses its effect and, you know, and then it's a slippery slope. So in the question, it is, what should you do on this kind of situation? So, and also I want to point out that it's just the last two nights that you've been, sounds like you've been struggling. So it's kind of a short-term thing. So, you know, the big picture is, it sounds like you've been sleeping well, But then you had just kind of a little speed bump, you know, kind of a little bump in the road. And that's okay. That's normal. And it actually can be kind of helpful to give you an opportunity to prove to yourself that you can be not attached to your sleep. So just sort of behaviorally, in bed, out of bed, doesn't really matter. But more of like psychologically, you have to make sure that you're comfortable and enjoying what you're doing, that you're not trying to make yourself sleep. So some people like to read, some people like to watch TV, some people like to, you know, some people do like to get out of bed and stretch a little bit because they enjoy that. It makes them feel good about, you know, they just kind of, they like the feeling, and that's great. Have a little snack if you're hungry. You know, all these things that are sort of like, you know, sleep hygiene kinds of things. It's like, don't get too hung up on that kind of stuff. You know, you want to do things that are going to help you help train your brain that being awake at night is okay, that it's not a threat, and that you can spend the time just doing something you like. So I'm assuming lying there with an active mind is not your goal. It's not something you enjoy necessarily. I'm going to assume that. Some people like to stay in bed quiet and they're just meditating and they're doing mindfulness and things like that. And that works for them. And if that works for them, it works for them. But if it doesn't, then you could try other things. Nothing with the intent to make you sleep, just with the intent so that you're not getting frustrated. Because, you know, frustration and then anxiety, they kind of come in when you are sort of trying to do something that's not possible. And so I think, look, you know, explore, find things that you might like to do, maybe have a couple options, and then maybe sit up in bed and do something, or leave the bed if you want to. It's totally up to you. But that's what I would suggest. Anything, you know, that's different than what you're doing now and not with the intent to sleep, and something you kind of enjoy, that you don't mind doing. And then of course, timelessness helps with all of this. So you're not doing clock checks all night long, because that just drives anxiety up. Okay. Thank you for that comment on YouTube, Sam. And we'll go down to, I have two more emails. The first one's kind of long, second one's shorter, but they both kind of get to the same question. First, from Lynn. Okay. Hi, I've written you before with questions, but here I am again. Great. We'd love to have your questions, Lynn. After 5 months of insomnia, I finally started getting decent sleep about a month ago. Okay. 5 months of insomnia, about a month ago. Good sleep. Great to hear. Brief history. I started CBTI very soon after I saw there was a problem, but it was a grueling journey. I found your videos a few months ago and have been listening and trying to apply all your teachings. When I started to finally sleep, it felt like magic, because even though I was taking all your advice and I was working towards NATO. For anyone new to the channel, this NATO idea is the not attached to the outcome. It's kind of the big theme of our teaching here. I felt like I wasn't, quote, there yet, but suddenly I just found myself sleeping. So I started to worry less about it and stopped listening to your videos for a couple of weeks and started enjoying a newfound, quote, normal life. Okay. Okay. So what that proves, Lynn, is that you can sleep. Your brain, which we've known, you know, we know, everyone knows you can sleep, but it's like, that's really tangible proof. It's like you can sleep. So it's not like a sleep drive problem. It's not like you have something going on medically or something that's preventing you from sleep. You can sleep. Okay. So that's like, when you think of the gas brake model, which I'm sure you're very familiar with, like the gas side of it, the sleep drive, it's there. You can sleep. Okay. Now let's continue on and enjoying the normal life. Yeah. Okay. Then all of a sudden, boom, after almost a month of sleeping well, a sleepless night. Okay. Then another one. And now I'm back to square one, listening to all the videos you post in search of answers. I would probably suggest that you're not at square one, because you have learned a ton about sleep and insomnia. So I would be careful about phrasing things like that. You're not at square one. You've done a lot of educating yourself. So be kind to yourself, acknowledge that you've learned a lot. So just keep that in mind as we go along here. I should mention that I've worked on my thought life and told myself that there's no threat and I can function without sleep. I functioned at work for 4 months with little sleep, but physically felt horrible. And I was working on NATO But as I said, I didn't really feel that I had gotten there. I listened to the model and I understand the concepts and always get good information from your videos, but there are a couple of things bothering me that I'd like to discuss. Okay, first, when does research and education become obsession? I want to act like a normal person. Normal people who sleep do not listen to videos on sleep all day. True. Ha, I feel I'm glad you have a good lighthearted attitude about all this. That will help. I feel like I might be reinforcing the belief that I have insomnia when clearly I can sleep. Yes, you can. I remember an interview you did with Sasha Stevens. That was about a month ago or so, I think, maybe longer, who said she finally stopped seeing herself as an insomniac. So that's what I want to do. But I also feel like I need more of the support that I get from just listening to your videos. Okay, so when is research and education an obsession? So we like to talk about something called a detox, a sleep detox. And that's where you just stop all research, all education, and ideally all thought at all about sleep. You just drop the whole thing. And it takes courage to do this. So I don't want to dismiss this. This is a courageous act for someone who does this. But I'm really optimistic because you recognize that maybe you are spending too much time researching. And a lot of this research can go down different paths. You know, sometimes it's like, well, you're researching it, something about sleep, but then you kind of go down the, you know, oh, maybe it's the room temperature that needs adjusting, or maybe it's the humidity of the air, or maybe I need a little more melatonin, or maybe whatever it is, all those things slip. I call them slippery slopes. They just, there's no consistent effect in anything along those lines. And so it's going to frustrate you and it's going to make it worse because it's going to stop. It's not going to be effective, but it might coincide with a good night. You know, you have like three terrible nights, then you try something different and then magically you sleep. And maybe your gas side, the gas brake side of it is really strong because you really haven't slept much and it kind of overrides. And then you think it's that thing that you did that one night. Well, maybe that wasn't the effect. Okay. Sleep happens with absence of effort. That's kind of it in a nutshell. So I would suggest a detox. I think that'd be really great. You know, if you feel up to it, if you feel like this, you're comfortable with that. I think that would be a reasonable thing to do for maybe a week or something like that. And maybe it lasts forever, you know, that'd be fantastic. It's like, you know, we love when people start sleeping better and sometimes it gets tricky or not tricky, but it's like we don't hear from people. And then we kind of like, I hope they're sleeping well. So if you do a detox and you start sleeping better, please let us know down the road. We always like to just, you know, have that great feedback from people who have turned the corner on insomnia and moved past it. But yeah, and that's an interesting comment also you had about Sasha Stevens, who Daniel interviewed. That was a great interview. If you haven't seen it, it was, I think about maybe 6 weeks ago. Go back on the YouTube. I forget which episode it was, but you'll see her and Daniel's image on the title there. Okay. Second. So the first one was, is research this too much research education and obsession? Yes, it can become an obsession. And I think a detox is actually helpful. Second, these last few nights where sleep has been elusive, a strange thing is happening. Before I mention it, I should tell you that I am always sleepy. This is a little parenthetical here. I am always sleepy. And this is kind of like the sleep tech side of me, kind of, you know, my antennas go up. If you're always sleepy, you know, that comment is a little, it can be associated with something like sleep apnea. So I'm assuming you've asked your doctor, if you have any questions at all about snoring or your breathing at night or sleep apnea, please ask your doctor. I'm hopeful that you have, and that's been kind of ruled out because sleep apnea does make people sleepy. You can have insomnia and sleep apnea at the same time. That is definitely possible. But the sleep apnea stuff is going to usually, you hear reports like, oh, I'm falling asleep all day long, off and on, and all these kinds of like sleepy all the time kinds of statements. So just want to throw that out there, a little parenthetical. Okay, I have retained an early rise time even throughout my Christmas vacation time because I need to be up early for work. As soon as I sit down to watch a movie, I could sleep. But then at bedtime, here we are, Houdini comes to visit. Okay, I said at the start of this that we were going to be talking about the Houdini effect. What is the Houdini effect? The Houdini, and I know Coach Daniels talked about this recently as well. And this is a big, big, this is like one of the biggest things. One of the most common things a sleep coach will hear. Sleepy on the couch. I'm nodding off watching TV. I'm just kind of like super sleepy. And then I go to bed and zing. It's like magically, I'm a super alert person. How does that happen? And I like to ask the question right off the bat, like what logical thing would make that happen? And there really isn't a logical explanation for that if you think about it. So it's very mysterious. It is like a magician. It's like suddenly like, oh, you're going to bed, you lay down and pow, like this like alertness, you know, wave just happens. And now you might not be super energetic. You might still be tired and fatigued, but you're alert. That's like more of a kind of a mental phrase. I like, you know, that term I like to use, alert instead of awake. Alert implies like your mind is active, you're thinking. That experience we call the Houdini effect. And what causes it? What causes it is it repeated, usually prolonged efforts to try to will yourself to sleep. That's generally what is the culprit. That's the origin of it. It's not, and this is where it kind of with CBTI and if you do research on sleep, you almost get the sense that they're trying to make you think it's like the bed itself that is making you become alert. No, that's not logical. The bed's the most comfortable place in the house. Why would you get alert there? So they're trying to talk about like an association, like the bed now, like at any time, like here's a bed. It just makes you a wide awake and alert. That's not necessarily true. It is the thought of sleep. It is the worry of not sleeping. It's this idea that, you know, that wakefulness at night is like a perceived threat. And that gets associated with going to bed. And so before you go to bed, you're on the couch or something like that. You're doing something you really enjoy. And when you do something you really enjoy, you are most likely not thinking anything about sleep. And because you're not thinking about sleep, you're not trying to make yourself sleepy. So the gas side, full bore. Like you just, you know, the gas pedal's down. The sleep drive is just clicking away, and it's right when it should be clicking away at night. And you're just, it's like sleepiness happens because you're not focused on trying to make yourself sleep. Then you go to bed. And what happens? What happens is your thinking changes. Now, all of a sudden it's, I have to sleep. It's like performance anxiety is kind of what it is. You know, the Houdini effect. It's how do you get so alert so quickly? It's like a fight or flight thing. You know, it's like something dangerous is happening and you need to react to it. And that danger in your own mind is sleep. I can't be awake. I'm in bed now. Like I need to fall asleep. Thinking like that will make the alertness stronger. That's what we call the Houdini effect. So it's super common. It's almost like just about everyone with insomnia who's struggling with insomnia kind of experiences a bit of that. Some people, that's like the only thing they really describe. It's like, oh, once I get to sleep, I'm okay. But at the start of that, when I go to bed, it's like I quickly become alert. And then they lay there for hours. And that perpetuates it. That perpetuates the insomnia. It drives it. It keeps it going. Keeps the break side, you know, going. Because if you're lying there alone in the dark, you know, it's very easy to think about how do I get to sleep? And that just makes sleep more elusive. Okay, so there was a little comment on the Houdini effect. Yes, Houdini can come to visit. Okay, Lynn continues. I bought a Kindle so I could just read easily in bed. Sounds good. These last few days when I get to bed, feel awake after dozing off a dozen times on the couch, I reach for my Kindle. I start to read and doze off, but lately I've been snapping awake, dozing off. Snapping awake, dozing off, snapping awake many times. I decide to shut off the Kindle and then I'm wide awake. So I just lay there in the dark going over my thoughts. Okay, so what is with this dozing and snapping awake repeatedly? Is it just hyper arousal in overdrive? It's very frustrating because I can't read or sleep. I appreciate any insight you may be able to offer. Okay, Lynn, so yes, that back and forth, snapping awake, dozing off, snapping awake, dozing off. First, I'd like to just go back a little bit here, or where did you say? Here we go. after dozing off a dozen times on the couch. Okay, so before you go to bed, I think it's helpful to really prevent yourself from dozing off, because dozing, it doesn't reduce your sleep drive. You know, if you're just dozing off for a few moments, it's not going to it's not like you've slept off half your sleep drive or something like that, but it's a very alerting experience to fall asleep briefly and then be woken up. And yeah, what's waking you up most likely is hyperarousal. A little, again, earlier in my comment about the sleep apnea, ask your doctor if you have any questions. And I have no idea if that's an issue with you or not, but if it is, just rule that out. Okay, so I'm going to talk like it is ruled out. So it's the hyperarousal. It's dozing off and then suddenly, falling asleep, which is a normal transitory time. You know, it's not like you go from wake to just boom, you're asleep, and then it's just that way for the rest of the night or a long time. It's transitional. All right. Falling asleep is transitional. It's kind of like the bumpy airplane, coming in for a landing during a storm. It's like it kind of, you'll get there, but it can be kind of like twists and turns and a little bit like that. So, when it's happening with sleep, that falling asleep on the couch with the TV on is very alerting to kind of constantly just like waking up. And so I would encourage you not to let yourself do that. So even though you can't make yourself fall asleep, you can keep yourself awake, right? It's, you can do things. Standing up, it's usually my go-to. Someone says I'm dozing off, I'm like, every 10 minutes, stand up for 15 seconds and just stretch for a moment, maybe go get a sip of water or something, and then sit back down. By doing that simple thing, you're probably preventing yourself from dozing. It's hard to doze off when you're standing on your feet, I like to say. So I think, preventing yourself from that dozen times or more dozing off, I think that will have a good effect if you can, behaviorally, just don't let yourself doze off before you go to bed. So catch yourself kind of like early on. If you feel like you're getting pretty sleepy, the signs are there, eyes are heavy, head's bobbing, all that kind of stuff. You have to just kind of work it out. Don't make yourself stay there. Don't let yourself stay there too long, dozing off and on. Okay. And again, it has nothing to do with the sleep drive side of things. It's just an alerting experience to be woken up. So bed, when you go to bed, you have to think about something. So how to deal with the Houdini effect? The Houdini effect can be something that is really strong, okay? And it's, again, born by repeated extended attempts to make yourself sleep. Then the whole idea of sleep can become anxiety inducing and all of that. So you have to get to the befriending wakefulness stage. You have to really just do something. If you become alert in bed, even if it's right away, be kind to yourself. You can't make yourself sleep. Remind yourself of that. Can't make myself sleep. Okay, so I guess I'll do something else. Do something you enjoy. Maybe sit up in bed. Simple as that. If you like to read on your Kindle, great. Read on your Kindle. I would not allow yourself to fall asleep while you're reading your Kindle. Okay. So maybe be monitoring yourself for that. So the dozing off and on, the thing isn't the problem. The problem isn't a little bit of sleep that's accumulated. It's the repeated abrupt awakenings, that hyper events kind of thing, right? You're quickly becoming alert. Oh, a bunch of those in a row, it's going to get really frustrating. And then, the Kindle isn't making you sleep. It's just simply allowing yourself to be sleepy. Okay. It's distracting yourself. It's that mental journey. You're kind of like going somewhere in your mind. That's fantastic for sleep. That's one of the best things you can do for your sleep, is take your mind somewhere, but don't rely on your Kindle for sleep. Okay. Just like I suggest people, don't rely on your TV for sleep. If you like TV and you want to watch a little bit of it and it's great, fantastic. But don't say, I have to watch TV to fall asleep, or I have to do my Kindle to sleep. The best sleep is the bare bones, just streamlined, no gimmicks, no anything. It's just you and enjoyment of thinking about whatever you want. Okay. That's really what it is. It's just taking your mind somewhere, kind of visually go on a journey somewhere, go on a vacation, remember something. Think if you're reading, I think a great suggestion is whatever you were just reading about, go there in your mind. Cause when you're reading, it's a visual experience. You're making a movie in your mind. Go into that. when you're done reading. So these kinds of things, they don't, it's just a very natural thing to do because you have to think about something, you know, when you lay down. Good sleepers, they barely think about anything, but there's usually like a fleeting thought and then they're just gone. So, you know, you'll get to that point. But for now, I would be careful about, you know, I'd be careful about relying on Kindle or TV for sleep. And then we have, let's see, did I answer all the questions? I think, okay, is it just hyperarousal in overdrive? I think it is. It's very frustrating, can't read or sleep, I understand. So, okay, Lynn, there's some suggestions for you there, some insights, and definitely keep us posted on how you're doing. And then one last short email from Sarah, which really kind of dovetailed right with Lynn's. Please give tips on how to break the hyperarousal that comes right when getting into bed at the sleep window time, even when previously in the evening, I could barely keep my eyes open. It's the sleep, you know, you're sleepy before bed, you lay down, hyperarousal kicks in. It's a performance anxiety thing. It is the Houdini effect. It is one of the most common things that people with insomnia experience, and it can over time diminish. It does diminish, okay? But it takes thought work. A lot of people who've done CBTI or talked to their doctor, they're instructed to get out of bed if they can't sleep. It's a really common instruction, and it's really unfortunate because if, you know, the goal isn't to get out of bed. The goal is to befriend wakefulness. So if you can befriend wakefulness in the comfort of your bed, done. That's where you should be. But some people like to get out of bed. They like maybe the coolness, I don't know, the cool tile on their feet. I don't know. They like to get a snack or just stretch or use the restroom or something like that. It's up to you. It's, everyone's different, but the goal isn't to try to just lay there, not moving, making yourself fall asleep or back to sleep. That will not take you down the right path. That will strengthen the Houdini effect. Okay, let's see what we got here. Oh yeah, there we go. The Houdini effect, voila, there it is in all its glory. It's really common and it's really frustrating. You know, people and it can just lead to so many sleep efforts. And it can be the same in the middle of the night too. Some people after falling asleep, you know, and maybe it's not a big problem to fall asleep, but then later in the night they wake up and they feel like they go to use the bathroom and they come back and they're just like, that Houdini effect kicks in again. So it's not just the start of the night. It's anytime you go from pretty sleepy to to awake. Sorry, Coach Daniel just sent me a text. that Houdini effect can happen at the start of the night or the middle of the night. It's just a really strange thing. And, you know, just a quick little off, maybe I'll finish on this, about the brain. You know, our big human brains, they're very associative. That's kind of how they work. They associate things and they do it all the time. The kid who gets their first shot smells the rubbing alcohol, and then the smell of rubbing alcohol for a long time afterwards can it make them feel anxious. Maybe it's like a person who's had like a happy experience, and it's like maybe a certain scenery thing or something. It brings them back somewhere and it's associated with a good feeling or whatever. You know, it's like that. That's just the way the brain works. It associates things and it's pretty much designed to keep us going, keep us alive. It's protecting us, right? And I know Coach Daniel's talked about this a lot. He's exactly right. It's doing things, it's associating things for self-preservation. With sleep, it can get challenging because it's, you know, especially, you know, you read media reports and all these things about horrific things will happen to you if you don't sleep enough and all this kind of stuff. And it's, you know, don't bother with that. It just drives the insomnia. Okay. You don't need that. And it's not, usually it's not science. It's an association thing in the science. It's not like an effect. It's not a causation of something. So what I'm trying to say, I'm kind of fumbling around here. What I'm trying to say is that the brain is naturally associative. And so what I said before, like, why would you go from sleepy to wide awake when you lay down in bed? What logical reason would be for that? Well, if you understand that the brain is associative, now it's logical. You understand what's happening. Your brain, over time, you have trained it, you have taught it that there's a threat at night about being awake. So when you lay down in bed, even after being really sleepy or asleep on the couch before that, you now are alert and it's your brain is looking for the threat. It's like, okay, you know, we need to react to the threat, you know, and that's the logical reason that it happens. And it's logical when you understand how the brain works. So, okay. And I think Lynn, at one point, I think it was in your email about looking for support beyond just the YouTube videos. Absolutely. We have the school. We have a self-coaching master program at thesleepcoachschool.com. Check it out. And maybe if you want to consider becoming a member, we have a great group of members in that program. And we do a lot of interacting. We have a Slack chat that we keep going all the time. Daniel and I switch off the weeks that we cover it. And it's great to hear from other people who have been struggling and listen to their journeys. You know, that they have insights that maybe you don't have. And that can really help people kind of get over a hurdle, right? Some people kind of get stuck, you know, they're sort of like, I've tried everything, you know, and maybe it's just a different way of hearing about an experience from someone else who has been struggling. And then what happens is if the student's interacting, magic happens. It really does. And we also have people that are training to become sleep coaches, and they're interacting with the students as well. So it's a very collaborative group kind of thing. So I encourage you to check it out. It's really a great, great resource. Okay. That's about it. That is my Monday open class. I'll be back for sure on Friday with Coach Daniel, maybe sometime in the middle. Coach Daniel will be here probably, you know, tomorrow or Wednesday. Either way, we're around a lot. Just keep your eye on the channel, keep subscribed, click the bell for notification, and you'll always know when we're on. So take it easy, everybody. Have a good one. Great. And happy 2021. All right.